Hello, my name is Brent Dundor. I'm a full-time commercial photographer, artist, and activist, and the proud producer of the They Them Project. They Them Project interviews non-binary individuals, offering a platform for them to be seen and heard while informing and educating everyone on how words and actions affect the trans plus community. Hi, my name is Brent, and I use he, him, his pronouns.
Hi, my name is Quinn, and I use they and them pronouns.
Thank you for being here, Quinn. So did I meet you at the gallery opening?
Yes, but I've seen your project before, so I kind of low-key stalked you.
Okay. Well, yeah, so you're here today for the project, but you're also here to apparently, you have questions for me too?
Yes, I do, actually.
Okay. I'm nervous and excited at the same time. Quinn, you said that you use they, them pronouns.
Yeah.
Do you use any other pronouns?
I have been starting to not accept other pronouns. So I prefer to just go by they and them. But if people slip up and use she and her, it's okay. But I will correct them on that.
Okay. And just like I always like to ask. So the fact that if someone slips up and that it's okay, you would just correct someone either way.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would be the same if someone said she, her, or he, him. You would correct them and move
yeah,
on.
Absolutely.
Okay. How long have you been using they, them pronouns?
Not that long. It's been since last August. I just kind of have started identifying as genderqueer and just finally just went into it and just changed everything from like my name and pronouns and just fully accepted everything at that point.
Tell me what led up to that. Where did you start to question gender? And how has it changed in the time since August?
Okay, so I actually started identifying differently in about eighth grade. I just felt super uncomfortable with my body, and I always thought for the longest time that's just how people kind of felt. Especially with like the top half of my body, I just felt just like really uncomfortable and just everything in puberty. It was just like not okay for me personally. Then I met some people on Tumblr, and I figured out what the word genderqueer was, and I was like, oh my God, that's how I feel. Like I was so happy because there was a word and a community around that. And like, I wasn't the only one who felt that. So that was like this life changing moment for me. But of course, living in Montana, I just was very like closeted in the fact of like my gender and sexuality just because of the environment. I was very scared to come out. It wasn't actually until I moved here about a year and a half ago when I started to explore that more. And it wasn't until August that I just was like, I'm just going to have to just do it. And I just changed everything. And it was like the most freeing moment of my life.
How much responsibility do you think should be put on others to ask you your pronouns or for you to tell others your pronouns?
It depends. I think it's about a 50-50, like especially people in the queer community. I feel like it definitely lays within them because, I mean, we all have different pronouns and you can't just really assume. So I like it when people introduce themselves and use their pronouns, or it'll just come out and just like ask, hey, what are your pronouns? Whereas like people who identify or just don't really aren't in the queer community, I think it more lays with me and being like, hey, like having that open conversation of like, actually, these are my pronouns. And I actually invite them to have a conversation because I think it's so important for people to understand that there are other genders outside of the binary.
Let's touch on that a little bit more. So if you're in queer communities, then people should ask what pronouns you use, just like they ask your name.
Exactly.
Okay. But if people are maybe less educated to the idea of asking pronouns, then you take some of that responsibility yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then with that, If someone doesn't understand that, then you're willing to talk to them about it.
Absolutely. Even people in the queer community don't always understand that. And they'll just come out and ask, like, what is genderqueer? And I'm like, great. I actually would love to explain this to you because it's important.
Is there ever a time that you would be upset if someone asked you what pronouns you use?
Absolutely not. Not at all.
So you do drag, and I've seen through your Facebook that that's a huge part of your life. Mm-hmm. Would you agree to that?
Oh, absolutely. It made me more comfortable just with like exploring identity. I feel like drag specifically, there's a lot of like very binary still. It's very like drag king or drag queen. So I like the idea of like kind of coming into the drag scene and being like, I'm going to do both. And that's just what's going to happen. And people just love it. I have people come up to me like after I perform and be like, oh my God, like, first of all, thank you for doing that. That was so important. And that's why I do it, is to show people that having something in between is really important to other people who identify the same way.
I've touched a lot on the art of drag, the performance of doing drag, through the project, and the idea that you perform both or no gender when you perform, I haven't touched on that yet. So we are asking all these questions of people who might not understand gender, how you respond to that. Does that happen while you're performing drag, and how does that make you feel?
Yeah, I've had people who are like really confused and will like straight up come up to me and be like, so do you have breasts or not? And it's like super like uncomfortable, but I'm like willing to have a conversation about it. And I'll be like, well, this is how I identify. And I have had people who are like, no, I really don't care. And that's the moment where I'm just like, okay, this is like more about my physical appearance than actually willing to have a conversation. And I shut that down. However, there have been times where people are like, oh, like, tell me more about it. And I'm like, yeah, like I'm willing to have a civil conversation as long as it's not just about like my physical appearance.
You use they, them pronouns. Tell me more about how you identify. You've kind of labeled it in different ways, and I want to understand and kind of describe each of those things and what they mean to you.
So I identify as genderqueer trans.
Okay.
So basically what that means to me is I identify outside of the binary, but more on the masculine side rather than the feminine side.
So I was looking at your Facebook. I guess I've stalked you as well, but I was looking at your Facebook, and a couple of days ago you had posted about a specific subject that, if you're comfortable with, I would like to touch on here.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Can you describe that subject? Can you tell me what it pertains to? And also talk a little bit about the comments that are through there.
So you're talking about gender dysphoria, right?
Yes.
Okay. So gender dysphoria is basically like your body doesn't identify with how you personally identify as. So for me, like I was biologically born with female parts, or like what people would consider being like female. And I went through like this transition of being genderqueer. So I wear like a binder, and I want to eventually get like top surgery. So it's like really hard for me every day when I get dressed, because it's just really hard to navigate clothes in general and how I feel, and just constantly being reminded that like my body isn't how I identify as. It's just one of those things that can be really tough. And just hard to navigate in the morning, and just in everyday life. But the post that you're talking about, so it more has to do with, I can talk about this, right?
Yeah, whatever you want to talk about.
Okay. So basically, I still get my period, and that's something that's just like really a hard struggle, because I'm just constantly reminded that I am not in the body that I would prefer to be in. And some of the comments on there were really hard. Somebody went on there and assumed that like, hey, I support you, but, and I am so specific about language because I think it's so important, and I hated this, but it was like, However, here's what I feel. And, you know, you're taking this for granted. And it was basically kind of like a really shameful guilt moment for me. And I had someone else comment and was like, well, they identify this way and you can't really understand. And I really took some time and I wanted to really think about what I was going to say, because not all people are educated about this or kind of understood. So I went on there to say that, like, having your period, like, I get it and it's hard and I could never understand what they are going through. However, for me, identifying differently than my body and navigating that is super hard on a day-to-day basis, and being reminded with that, with like a physical appearance of like having your period, is just awful. It's just something that I wish I could change and I can't. That is a really big struggle for me.
If I remember correctly, the person who was commenting was trying to say that you could appreciate the fact that you have a regular cycle.
Yeah.
They were making an assumption.
Yeah.
And saying that through things that, like, I think that what they were trying to say is you could look at this in a different perspective, that you could appreciate something more. But it was through a lot of assumptions.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's the hard part, is that a lot of people just assume, just like with everything, like disabilities and just like mental health and just like really everything, and gender, and just are really easy to assume that just because you look a certain way or act a certain way, or, you know, just anything, you post one thing and people just kind of assume and it takes off. And I really wanted to say that, like, actually, that's not true. Like, there was a period where I didn't have my like cycle at all for 7 years, like, which was good for me, but also super hard. Cause it's going to be hard for me to have kids if I ever want them in the future. But, you know, when I do have my period, it's just a really big shock for me and it's hard.
The project is all about the idea of how easy it actually can be to show someone respect just by asking them what pronouns they use.
Absolutely.
And respecting those pronouns, just like you would their name.
Mm-hmm.
But one way that people could understand what that means is this concept of what you have to go through all on your own, even away from pronouns. This is just like the challenge that you have going through life in the body that you were given.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you would want to say towards that concept?
Yeah, so it was super hard. When I was first understanding what genderqueer was, being in Montana and moving here and not really having a lot of friends, but knowing that there was a queer community, it was really hard to navigate that, because there's like not a lot of resources or information on like going through this change. Like, I feel like there's a lot of resources more aimed towards people who are transgender, but not specifically genderqueer, because like I wanted top surgery, but I was like, you know, at that time I didn't want to get testosterone and I don't want bottom surgery. So it's like really hard for people to understand, and they'd be like, but why? And so that was really hard, and I questioned everything. Just going through this on my own, like trying to figure out like how to even start, like who do I even talk to about top surgery, was just so difficult. There's just so much lack of information in that regards, and that was really hard.
I mean, ultimately what you just said, that people find it hard to understand the idea of being genderless or non-binary. With that concept, I just want to touch on the idea of, okay, so people are hearing this non-binary and the idea of having top surgery. And I know that there's going to be people who are thinking, well, why would you need that? If like, what, isn't that going one way or the other? So what would that surgery mean to you in general or specifically?
It would give me a lot of freedom. So feeling male from the waist up, it's just something that I feel would just really go along with how I identify. And I think that just kind of like in regards to, I'm just really going to simplify this. So like people who identify as trans, it feels really freeing for them to finally like have their outward appearance match how they feel on the inside. And for me, it's just so important. I wouldn't have to navigate these hard everyday things like, what shirt am I gonna wear? Oh, this, like, even though this is a more masculine shirt, like, it still looks really female on me. And that is really hard. And getting top surgery would actually help with that, but not only like seeing my appearance, but also navigating that area as well.
I guess if I think more literal, and put myself into your shoes, just the idea of having those specific parts of your body, like that challenges everything that you do in terms of how you dress and your physical appearance and how people look at you.
Absolutely.
Quinn, how long have you used that name and what does it represent to you?
So I changed it on my birthday, actually. I was deciding between Dylan or Quinn. And I don't know, I was just like having this little thing. And I was like, I feel like Quinn wears all black. And I was like, I don't know, kind of like a Grim Reaper look. And I like am obsessed with the color black. So I kind of was just going with Quinn because there's not really a gender neutral way of spelling Dylan. It just wasn't it.
Why Dylan then?
Why Dylan?
It was another name that it felt right?
Yeah, I was really deciding between the both of them. It sounded more gender neutral, but like the spelling was what really got me. And I was like, nope, I can't. Nope. And so Quinn became me.
Do you have anything to say about your birth name or your dad name, how would you label that?
Yeah, I've thought about like labeling it as my dad name, but here's the part. So my full name is Svetlana Grace Peterson. Not a lot of people know that, actually.
Are you comfortable really with sharing that?
Yeah, no, okay. I'm totally comfortable with that. I use my nickname, so I go by Lana sometimes, and that's more like in certain environments. I'd say mostly with people in Montana or people who are older and like absolutely cannot change their ways, which has been hard for me to accept because I feel like people who are older, I'm like, you can still change, like, but some people, whether it's there's something they're going through or whatever, who cannot like mentally get through that, I just use my regular Lana name, which I've wanted to make it my dead name, but that is just, it's hard because I haven't legally changed my name and there's just a lot attached to it. And it's hard. It's basically kind of giving up, you know, a huge part of me, like I identified with that name for a really long time. So I don't know, I might get there, but not right now.
I mean, what you've said is that there's older people who just are not going to change.
Yeah.
Has there ever been anybody who you have thought maybe they wouldn't, but they did? And the reason I ask that question is, what did that mean to you? Like, I want you to be as specific as possible what that makes you feel.
Yeah, so, I have a group that I go to and, they're mostly made up of older people and, I started just introducing myself by saying that my name is Quinn, and it took me by shock. I did not think that these people were going to understand or like comprehend or accept it, and it was very shocking. People came up to me and were like, oh, you're going by Quinn now, like how did that happen? And like I was able to like tell my story, and that was like such an amazing thing because I thought that the older generation was more opposed to that kind of thing, because I know that this is like going more, I don't want to say this, but it kind of fits, like, more mainstream, kind of. Like, other people outside of the queer community are kind of understanding and are interested in learning in this, which was very surprising. It took me by shock. But it was a very good thing.
That actually touches on another question that I always ask of, can you give an example of when someone validates your gender? But can you tell me an example of when someone has challenged your gender? I mean, we've talked about during drag performance, but maybe there's an everyday example that you can use.
Yeah, there's a couple of instances. So my family, my immediate family, so my mother and my father, actually, I've tried to navigate this conversation so many times with them, and I've kind of just, I've given up on that they're going to accept this, but, I tried to explain to them that I was going by the name Quinn, and I was going by they and them pronouns, and they were just not having it. They were like, I will always refer to you as Lana, and just so you know that you're still a girl. And it was a very hard thing to accept that my parents were just never going to A, truly understand, because they didn't want to understand and they weren't open to that communication and the education of that. And that was the hardest thing to get over, but having the support of the queer community was really helpful. And I reached out to a couple people who were like, dude, I get it. Like, I've had the same experience. And I think that's what really is special about the community, is that it brings people together in ways that when your family rejects you, like, your queer family will be there for you. And I think it's so important. It's just one of those special things that I can't get anywhere else.
Well, while I've been stalking you on Facebook, like I said before, I have noticed through pictures that you've posted while performing through drag that you've gone through a lot, and it's brought you a lot of happiness. So with what you were just talking about, can you touch on that just a little bit more? Like, what, maybe it's not even about gender, but what that community is, the people that you see every night that you do perform.
Yeah, so when I first started drag, I was really nervous, and I was like, this is not going to go well. I just, like, having an eating disorder was really hard because, you know, I was just, A, really uncomfortable with my body, and then having gender dysphoria on top of that, I was, like, not having, like, any of it, and I was just super nervous. But the moment I went on stage, it was, like, almost, like, this calm effect of, like, these people were just, like, so supportive, and it was, like, for a minute, I, like, disregarded, like, everything about my body, and I think that's what drag has done for me, is, like, it's this special moment of, like, people really don't give a shit about, like, what you look like. It's more about just the energy and just being part of something special and just wanting to see you do your best. And I think for me, that just really changed. I actually had somebody come up to me, oh geez, it must be like about a month ago now, who had seen me when I first moved here and then see me a month ago. I don't know how to word that, but whatever. They compared the two times and was like, holy cow, like, when I first saw you, you didn't know who you were stumbling around, it was hard to, like, watch you do that, but now you just introduce yourself and you have this energy about you and you understand who you are. And I think that was so important. She was like, you are very happy, and I'm so happy that you found that. And for me, that's what drag has really done, is finally letting myself become who I was meant to be.
What's interesting is drag is an expression of gender. It's like an exaggeration of gender. So what some people would want to say is, well, how can you be non-binary and do drag? Like, that's the first idea that goes into my head. And then because of this project and the fact that I've challenged myself on the idea of what gender is in general, I'm like, oh, okay, that's stupid. Like, you can't define someone else's gender. So me trying to say that you can't do drag if you're not doing an exaggerated version of male or female, then that completely contradicts what this project is about. And it's interesting because, again, it's this idea of an exaggeration of it. So I want you to touch on that a little bit more.
Okay, yeah. So actually, I don't think that idea is stupid. I think a lot of people have that, like, just general thing about drag is just the assumption that you have to do this exaggerated male or this exaggerated female. And that's, like, really what, like, made me think about that was... I know you did another interview with Morgan. So I know Morgan does drag at Lush, or used to. And they were a drag king at the time, and they went on in, like, total, like, female outfit. And I was just like, oh my God, like someone who identified as genderqueer, it just didn't really, like, you know, it just didn't really compute that there was a possibility that I could do both. And so Morgan really went on stage, and when I saw that, I was like, why the fuck not? I mean, gender really is just, what is gender? Like, if you can identify as non-binary, then you can fucking get up on the stage and do whatever the fuck you want. So who really gives a shit?
Is it possible to exaggerate non-gender?
So yeah, so that's the really hard part that I've really